shoulder fake.
To the rack.
Oh, my goodness. Wayne Wade.
Taps up a three.
Bam! Jimmy Butler's big time onion.
Side jumper off the mark.
Oh, back with right hand. Felicia right in the mug. A Miles Plumlee.
Throw it.
Oh, my.
Down,
gosh.
Big man. Throw it down.
On the new home of the Chicago Bulls, this is Chicago Bulls Live. And now, here's Steve Cashel.
And welcome in, everybody, to Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890, our weekly program inside the world of Chicago Bulls basketball and the NBA. I'm Steve Cashel. We begin this show with an interview with Larry Bird, the former Boston Celtics great, a member of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Here is part one of Chuck Swirsky's interview with the current president of the Indiana Pacers, Larry Bird.
We can go all over the map. We know we have a limited amount of time, but let's talk a little about Fred Hoiberg. Can you give me something good on Fred Hoiberg?
Well, I was here. I coached Freddie for 3 years or 2 years here in Indiana. And never a finer young man, a hard worker, just a joy to be around. And now I'm following his career and watching him and wish him nothing but the best. He's a great family man. He's a great guy, and he was a great player for us. So I had a lot of good emotions about Freddie.
Now, Larry, when he came into the league, was he on the cusp of making the ball club, or did you know he was going to make your team?
Oh, I knew he was going to. He was here with Larry Brown when I got here. I knew he was going to make the team because I followed his career, and he was a good player. I mean, he played hard every day. You know, he had the task of guarding Reggie every day in practice, and it just made him better. So he was a lot of fun to have on the team.
All right. So Larry, I'm just curious because this is an opportunity to go everywhere with you, and I want to concentrate a little bit first on 1978. You're picked by Boston, and correct me if I'm wrong, the sixth overall pick, but you were allowed to stay in school with somewhat of a glitch in the way the NBA handled at that time, the draft procedure. So you played and went to the, obviously, NCAA championship game that year, but knowing your rights belong to the Boston Celtics. During that year, did Red Auerbach ever pick up the phone like and say, hey, Larry, just wanted to check in and say, we need you?
He was around quite a bit. He came to some of my games in Terre Haute, Indiana, ISU, where I played, and on some road games, especially at the end of the year. When we was in the playoffs, we played, was getting ready to play Arkansas, and he came up to my room. We talked for a few minutes, and he was saying that, well, when you get beat here, we'd like to sign you and have you come and finish out the year with us in the last 10 or 12 games in Boston. And I thought that was pretty interesting, but the reason I stayed in school because my mom wanted me to finish my education and be the first one to graduate from college, and that's why I went back my senior year.
Now, would you have done that, Larry? Let's say that Arkansas, and they had a terrific ball club that year, as we know. Had they beaten you, and let's say the Celtics had a dozen games left, would you have played?
No, I had some schooling I had to finish up. I had my student teaching and driver's education classes. I had a lot of things to do. So the reason I went back to school my senior year is just to finish my education.
All right. Speaking of driver's ed, were you a good driver's ed teacher?
I don't know. You'll have to ask some of my students. I was a little nervous at times, I can tell you that. Driving on the track, but once you went out on that road, it was a different ball game.
All right, so what was your first job?
Ever?
Ever.
The first job I ever had was in the fourth grade. The principal came in and wanted some kids to help in the cafeteria. And he said, of course, everybody raised their hand, and he came to me and says, well, you're tall enough to do what I want you to do. And so I got the job. I made $6.50 every 2 weeks.
But see, that is a great story. Thank you. So the 78-79 season, you have a magnificent year, college player of the year. You go to the national championship game. Actually, to get to the championship game, you had to beat DePaul. And you went 16 of 19 from the floor that ball game, Larry.
Yeah, they need every one of them, too. I think we just won by 2 points. They had an excellent basketball team, a great coach, and it was a barn burner. Going into the game, didn't know much about them. Obviously, I knew about Mark Aguirre, But I just knew it was going to be a tough game, and it was. It went right down to the end.
So at that point in the NBA, Larry, as you know, the league had a lot of issues on the court, off the court. And here comes Larry Bird. Here comes Magic Johnson. And then 5 years later in 84, the Bulls draft Michael Jordan. When you reflect on that period, and basically a lot of people who have covered this sport a lot longer than I have and have covered the sport before you came into the league in the late 70s, say that that period of time saved the league. When you look back at that period in your life, are you proud of the fact that you were able to make a major impact on the NBA?
Well, I'm just glad to be able to continue playing the game of basketball. I didn't know much about the NBA when I came in. I do know in 84, the league started growing, and David Stern took over at that time. And you could see every year it seemed like it was getting better and better. They really spent a lot of time on the rules, trying to get the officials to call the game the way that the rule book was laid out. More people were showing up to games across the country. But you got to remember, in 84, I think we went to the finals 4 years in a row, and the Lakers went like, I don't know, 8 times in 10 years, mm-hmm. something like that. So there was always good matchups. But when Michael came in, he took it to another level. There's no question about that. And that, everybody knows that. His ability to do the things he did on the basketball court just mesmerized the nation, and even it got to where it mesmerized everybody all over the world.
Thanks for tuning in to Time Out Bulls. Lexus is proud to bring you this peek under the hood. The all-new Lexus RX is the perfect blend of chiseled design, aggressive performance, and luxury finishes. And with 44 inches of legroom, even our Bulls athletes would be comfortable in one. Visit your Chicago area Northwest Indiana Lexus dealer to test drive an RX today. Now, back to the show. Yeah, I want to talk about this 63-point game because, you know, the Bulls that year, Larry, as you know, finished with a record of 30-52. I mean, think about right. that, 30-52. He only played 18 games because of the stress fracture, came back, right. he was on limited minutes, and he had 63. And I remember, and to this day, I can still see your quotes about, I think God's disguised as Jordan. And I mean, he went off, but little to be known about that game because Jordan had a great – he missed a 15-footer that would have won the ball game in the first overtime.
Right. I can remember it. I can see it right now. But he was spectacular throughout the game. I mean, we played really well that game. Obviously, they had guys were moving and making shots, but Michael was carrying him. Every time they needed a basket, he could get it for him. But it was a duel. I think it went in two overtimes, and we pulled away right at the end. But great basketball game. It was our best team I ever played on in 86 was with obviously Bill Walton coming in off the bench, Scotty Webman. We had a stacked team, and they took us right down the wire in that game.
Yeah, and you had a 36-12-8 game, and in those days they had best of five series, and you swept the Bulls. But at what point, Larry, during that 80s period, did you think in the back of your mind, okay, maybe our run is over? I know you had some recurring back situation. But when did you think that maybe the Bulls had something that they could really turn the corner in and have a chance to win some titles?
Well, when I see them playing against Detroit, you know, they tough battles. Detroit was got them a couple years there. But you just see them every year getting a little bit better, more confident. And once they beat the Pistons, that's when I knew that, you know, I don't know if anybody can beat them again. Then they made some good adjustments, made some trades to get some better players around Michael and some shooters, and they just got better every year. I mean, the ability of Scotty defending like he did and play the way he was able to play, and Michael just dominating, they were tough to handle.
Well, you were a teammate of them, obviously, with the Dream Team in 92 in Barcelona. Did you get a chance to get ever close to Michael, or were you at different periods of time as far as age and just, you know, where you were at and where he was at?
No, I mean, I played some golf with Michael throughout the years. I've always enjoyed his company. He's competitive in everything he does, and I got to know him a little bit. You know, I ain't saying I'm his best friend. You know, I when I see him, I'm very cordial. I always love to compete against him, and I've always admired him, the way he's handled himself, and how successful he's been. And I just always enjoyed his company. He's a good guy.
Time for a short break on Chicago Bulls Live. When we come back, part two of Chuck Swirsky's interview with former Celtics great Larry Bird. Stay with us on Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890.
This is the new home of Chicago Bulls basketball. Hear every Chicago Bulls game here. WLS AM 890. Now back to the Chicago Bulls Live.
And welcome back, everybody, to Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890. He was the sixth overall pick in the 1978 NBA draft by the Boston Celtics. He winds up as a three-time NBA champion with Boston. And here now, part two of Chuck Swirsky's interview with Larry legend, Larry Bird.
You know, Larry, when you came in the league, I was looking at how many games you played, your minutes and whatnot. I mean, you won 61, 62, 63 games your first 3 years in the league. You played 82 games the first 2 years in the NBA. And I'm wondering, because there's so much focus now on how many minutes a guy's playing, how many games, should we hold them out, should we start resting players? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you get paid to play 48 in overtime. So, you know, if yep. that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I think they emphasize a little bit too much. I can remember playing three nights in a row, you know, not all the time, but every year seemed like we had earlier in my career, we played three games in a row. I never really thought about back-to-backs. Now that's all you hear about it, here at four games and five nights. We always looked at it, if it was on the schedule to play on a Wednesday and Friday and Saturday, that's what you did. But I understand it. I see where they're coming from. But, I mean, when you're young, when I was young, I would love to play it every night. No matter where it was at, because I just loved the game. I loved to compete. You know, I never heard anybody talk about back-to-back games. But now that's all they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're doing some good things. They're stretching the schedule out a little bit. They get a little more time in All-Star break. I can remember when we went on All-Star break, we went straight to the West Coast for 2 weeks. We was on the road for 20 days.
Wow.
And that's a long time without an All-Star break, you know. So I'm glad they're changing things up, give the players a little more time to let their body rest and recuperate. You know, the one thing that I always remember is when we went to the finals 4 years in a row, I never thought our bodies were able to recoup in that 2.5 month period
mm-hmm.
before the next season started. And I think over years it broke us all down. You know, Kevin has a foot problem. I had always had the back, and Danny's had some things. Robert's got ankle problems. And we never was able to really get back healthy before we started another year. And we played a lot of minutes. You know, we was a team that we relied on our starters to play a lot of minutes.
So are you a proponent, Larry, of once the season is over, do you advise your players, you know what, put the ball down, let your body rest? Because nowadays, I mean, guys are in the gym like a week after the season, and they've got personal trainers and whatnot.
We got them. We got young. Our young guys are in here all summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're young, you're able to do that. But as you do get older, you need to tend to let your body heal a little bit more. I mean, every player is different. Some, I know Robert Parrish told me he never touched a ball in the summer, but he stretched and he was in yoga and doing different things. But me, I was a guy that thought if I didn't do something every day, somebody was going to catch me or pass me. I've always had a saying that if I went out and shot 1,000 shots, I know somebody around the world is shooting 2,000.
Mm.
And that was always in my mind, so I had to go out there every day and do something.
Well, having followed your career, Larry, from the days at Indiana State, I remember there were a lot of ball games where you were one assist or one steal shy of a quadruple-double, and the Celtics would be up by 15, 17, and you wouldn't go back in the game.
Well, I mean, I can remember – one time in Utah, I was one steal away, and there's probably still about 9 minutes to go in the game, and I played almost all the third quarter. Casey took me out. Then he came. Then somebody kept Dan. I think it was Danny kept saying, Danny Ainge kept saying, "Go back in and get a steal." And I look, and Casey said, "Yeah, you need to go in there and get one more steal." I said, "Coach, I think I've done enough damage."
Yeah, I think so. Okay, let me take the rest of the night off, Casey. Thank you. Hey, before I let you go, just two other questions. Number one, when you're chilling at home and you got an off night, or you're not scouting, or you're not watching a ball game, do you ever say, you know what, I'm going to flip that disc in and watch me drop 60 on the Hawks? You ever do that just to kick back?
No.
No? You don't see any of your old games?
I got them all in my head.
I know that.
No, I never have done that. I've been to places, fundraisers where they'll have a big screen and they'll throw stuff up and I go, wow, how'd I do that? something like that. Or I remember that,
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Even though you get older and time keeps moving on, you still remember, especially, I love to play. I love to compete and all that. And you see a quick flash of something, you go, oh, I remember that. That was in the second half, about 3 minutes ago in the third.
So, Larry, what would you say was your most enjoyable year? And I'm not talking about whether you won a championship or not,
yeah,
but I'm just talking about where you really enjoyed it. You enjoyed your teammates or enjoyed just the whole volume of that season.
Yeah, I think it was in 86, even though that was our best team. But we went out and got Bill Walton, and I always idolized Bill growing up. And he was on the same team as I was, and he was healthy, he was playing well. And it was just a joy to have him. And not just for me, I think everybody on the team loved to have Bill around. It was just a joy.
Now, what made him the guy that you wanted to either emulate or work with or play with?
Because of the way he played the game. He's fundamentally sound, and he did a lot of things that he's the first guy I've seen that could really rebound the ball above the rim and make an outlet off of a rebound still in the air. His passing always mesmerized me. A guy that big, able to make passes like he did. So, and of course, I idolized him growing up, watching UCLA play and win and dominate. So, to have him on our team and energize our team like he did was pretty special.
Whether this story has become embellished or not, or fabricated, because I know you talk trash, and I say that because players admire that you could back up what you were talking about. There is a story with Xavier McDaniels of then Seattle where that you told him exactly what you were going to do, that I'm going to get
some time on the clock.
You did.
I was supposed to make it at the buzzer.
All right, so give us the scenario and the narrative of that story.
Well, Xavier, I always like to play against Xavier too because, he's rough and he's a good player and he come after you. I like guys that really challenge me. And we were down at the end of the game, and I think it was it was tied. And the timeout was called, and Xavier looked at me and said, "You're going to get it, aren't you?" I said, "I'm going to get it right over here." And I was walking. He was walking with me. "I'm going to get it right here. I'm going to shoot it right in your face and win the ball game." And I did it, and you should have seen the look on his face. I know he wanted to punch me.
Oh, my gosh.
But he was a dandy. He was a boy, what a competitor he was.
Yes. So what Bull did you really enjoy playing against?
I like to play – well, I tell you what I like. I really enjoyed – obviously, Michael was great to compete against, but I love to watch Scotty every year, how much better he got. When he's a rookie and he's trying to guard me, I always told him that too. I said, "Boy, when you was a rookie, I was just tearing your ass up." But as he got older and got stronger and got bigger, I was sitting there going, "Man, this kid is really getting good." So I really enjoy watching his progression as the years went by. And obviously, in the 90s, he took off and was spectacular.
Yeah. There was nothing like when you would come into Chicago, Larry, and as you know, Chicago Stadium or because you left in 92 and the United Center was built in 94, so you never played in this building. But when Chicago Stadium with the Bulls and Celtics, it rocked. I mean,
it rocked. It was incredible. I remember in the playoffs, we'd be in there and man, that place was awesome to play in. I mean, it was a great arena. It was great to be out there in the center court and look around and see them people look like they're right on top of you. And when they got going, the building shook a little bit. So it was interesting. I always enjoyed it.
Yeah. We've enjoyed this, Larry. We thank you so much for your time, and I mean that sincerely. Looking forward to seeing you, obviously, when the Bulls play the Pacers this year. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a man, a three-time MVP in the league, Rookie of the Year, 3 rings, okay, that's fine. But then NBA Coach of the Year. He's the only man in the history of this game to have been named Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year, MVP. It's amazing, Larry. I mean, really, when you think about your career and what you've accomplished, College Player of the Year, single-handedly put Indiana State on the basketball map, do you ever sit back in your quiet moments and say, "Damn, I can't believe what I did"?
Well, the old saying, if you put good people around you, good things always happen. I always had good coaches, good teammates, and and a lot of luck along the way. But I will tell you, I did spend a lot of time playing the game and trying to perfect my skills. So there's a lot of lonely nights in them gyms, but it seemed like it all worked out.
Yeah. I mean, but how do you perfect your skills running a ball club? I mean, was that like on-the-job training, or was that just come naturally because you have a feel for the game?
Well, I had Donnie Walsh here for a long, still have him for a long time. So, you know, I was fortunate to have a guy that really took his time and taught me everything that he learned, and it's just been a great relationship.
That's Chuck Swirsky with Larry Bird, the only person in NBA history to be named MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of the Year. And many thanks to the Timeout Bulls podcast, driven by Lexus and available on iTunes. When we come back, we sit down with Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball for the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. Stay with us here on Chicago Bulls Live on WLS AM 890.
Everything you need to start your week smarter and happier. Big John and Ray, Monday morning starting at 5 on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890. I'm Steve Cash. One of the great things the Chicago Bulls, and for that part, the Chicago White Sox offer, is the Bulls Sox Youth Academy, based in Lisle, Illinois. They do such a tremendous job for the youth in our area. And joining me now is Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball for the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. Larry, congratulations on what you guys have built here. And take me back to the beginning, though, and when you started it and what the philosophy is.
Okay, well, first of all, Steve, it's great to be back and great to spend some time with you. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about the Bulls Sox Youth Academy and just the inception and where we've come to now. This is our 15th year anniversary, if you can believe it or not. We just celebrated the 15th year, had a Bulls Day, and we had a Sox Day in September, and just wanted to really recognize the fact that we've been here 15 years. But within that, philosophically, our goal has always been to train children at the basic level and hopefully create future Bulls and White Sox fans through the game of basketball, game of baseball, game of fast-pitch softball, and even offering sports performance. But from a basketball standpoint, it's been pretty simple. You know, we're going to work on the basic things to make a player or put a player in a situation where they can play at the grade school level, at the high school level, at the college level. And even now, after 15 years, I have some people that have played and that are playing professional basketball. So it's just amazing to kind of see everything come full circle.
Larry, that's awesome. I mean, it's got to be just a great feeling to see those kids come full circle, as you said. I mean, to reach the highest level, and they started here at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. What does that mean?
It means a lot, Steve. And you know, you don't realize it until you see people or you run into people that say, hey, you know, coach, you know, you coached me in the third grade. You coached me in the fourth grade. One of my children who played for me, who's a grown man now, is Drew Crawford, who played at Northwestern. Started here when he was 10 years of age and played here at the academy, and now he's 25 years old and he's playing professionally. He played over in Israel last year. He was on the he was actually playing in the D-League the year before. He'll probably go back overseas this year. John Scherner, who was also a Northwestern grad, is now playing in Spain. So when you see these guys, it reminds you not just that you've been doing this and you've done it the right way, it sometimes reminds me how old I am as well.
That's great stuff. Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball here at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. I'm Steve Cashel. This is Chicago Bulls Live on WLS AM 890. Larry, I know the listeners want to hear about some of the great camps and clinics and tournaments, shootouts, leagues, private lessons. You guys do it all. So let's spend some time right now. Take us, first of all, we're in the month of November, and what you guys have coming up for the youth of our area.
Well, we've got a great Thanksgiving camp. Our Bulls Thanksgiving camp, it begins on November 25th, and it runs 2 days, Steve. So it's the 25th of November and the 26th. So for you parents who want to jump out and shop on Black Friday, you've got a day to do it. That Saturday we come back and we reinforce it. It's 6 hours of basketball. So 3 hours, 9 to 12 the first day. We go 9 to 12 the second day. The cost is $115, which is actually pretty reasonable for 6 hours of basketball. And then we also offer it for ages 5 to 14. And we do a really good job of splitting those ages up. So you're not going to have a 5-year-old working with a 14-year-old. We want to make sure we split them. And it's boys and girls. We want both sexes. You know, they both can come in and be serviced. And lastly, Steve, we offer a combo component because we offer baseball here. So if you want to have your child here all day, they can be here in the morning for basketball, afternoon for baseball, spend 6 hours. In both days, they'd be here for 12 hours, which is a great thing to be able to do it under the same roof.
Oh, that's very popular, I know, Lair. I know that you guys also run some fantastic camps and clinics, and that starts really first week in December. Is that right?
It does. Right after Thanksgiving camp, we come back in the month of December. We start up, and we run an advanced ball handling camp here at the academy. Starts at 5 o'clock, runs for about an hour and 20 minutes, so we really get in, work on ball handling, and really try to take kids to the next level. And what we found, Steve, you know, at every level, that if you can handle a basketball, you're a more effective basketball player. And that camp is geared toward boys and girls. That's ages 9 to 11, ages 12 to 14. And the reason being is because it's an advanced class. You know, we want to make sure kids have had somewhat of an understanding of how to play basketball, and that's why we skew the ages between 9 and 11 and 12 and 14. And lastly, the cost of that is $124 for the four sessions of basketball that we will offer.
You talked about the Thanksgiving camp. That's the day after Thanksgiving and the following day, the Saturday. But now you also have the Bulls holiday camp, which falls over the Christmas holiday.
Absolutely. You know, we want to make sure that we offer the same type of setup, and we're going to do it over the Christmas holiday. The day after Christmas, which is the 26th, will be the first day. We'll go 9 to 12. But it goes 3 days. So it'll go the 26th, the 27th, the 28th. Cost is $175, ages 5 to 14. Again, we split the groups up to make sure that a 5-year-old is not working with a 14-year-old. We definitely encourage boys and girls. And then we offer a combo component as well for that. So a child could come in and they can go 9 to 12, 1 to 4, and be here all day for all 3 days if a parent really wanted them to have both opportunities to do it under the same roof.
It's a great way to get the kids out of the house. It's winter and not a lot to do, obviously, in the outside. So what an opportunity. We're visiting again with Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball for the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. I'm Steve Cashel. This is Chicago Bulls Live on WLS AM 890. And, Larry, let's go into some of the other things that that you guys offer here at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy.
Well, Steve, in conjunction with all the things that are going on, you know, in the month of December, we offer private lessons, and they're ongoing. If you wanted to take private lessons, you can do it anytime, you know, in any month. And I definitely encourage it for players that have had an introduction to basketball. It's a private lesson, either 30 minutes or an hour with an instructor. And, you know, a child does not have to be embarrassed to work on their weaknesses. I think it's important to identify strengths and weaknesses early and then be able to really hone those skills. And we've got some different opportunities in regard to the way that they're set up. So there's a couple different membership packages, what makes it really affordable. There's a single lesson package, there's a rookie package, there's a pro package, and then a Hall of Fame package, which all of them are different. But if, you know, there's a person that wants to come in and do one lesson, they can do one. If there's a person that wants to do unlimited amount, they could do an unlimited amount and really just have the opportunity to focus on working on their game and getting better and taking that to wherever they play at.
Well, that's awesome. You have some outstanding private instructors, don't you?
I really do. And I'd be remiss not to mention some of those people that work for us. Daryl Thomas is one of my key instructors, and when I say key, he's a full-time employee here, and he does elite lessons and regular lessons here, but played at St. Joseph's High School under the legendary Gene Pingator, who's still coaching there. He also played at Indiana University under Bobby Knight, won a national championship, and then he went on to play professionally for about 13, 14 years, and he brings his expertise back here to work on the youth level. Also, Kyle Cummings, who started playing here as a fifth grader, played for me, went all the way through, went to Illinois State University, ended up jumping on the coaching staff with Tim Jankovich, who's now the head coach at SMU, and then he came back here to the academy, and he's one of my other key private instructors. So, you know, there are other people that instruct for us as well, but the level of expertise that my people have is outstanding.
Larry, we got about 2 minutes left. Let's take us through some of the other things that you guys have. And again, Larry Stewart's my guest, general manager of basketball here at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. I'm Steve Cashel. This is Chicago Bulls Live.
Well, for the month of December, in addition to what we mentioned, Steve, we do a Bulls Winner Shootout, a Bulls Winner Tournament, and a Bulls Winner League. I'll talk about the tournament first. The tournament starts on December 2nd and runs through December 4th. Boys 4th through 8th grade, girls 5th through 8th grade, and the cost is $250. It's a four-game guarantee. Awesome experience here at this Bulls Sox Academy here in Lisle. Also, the winner shootout is three games to guarantee, and that's all in one day. So you could either play on December the 17th or December the 18th. Boys 4th through 8th grade, girls 5th through 8th grade, the cost there is $185. And then lastly, the Bulls Winter Leagues is a 10-game guarantee, and we actually start up in January. So it starts up in the new year, and it goes from the 6th of January through the 26th of February. And the games are primarily either on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and we do a really good job of scheduling that. Again, boys 4th through 8th grade, girls 5th through 8th grade, and the cost for that is $675 for the 10 games. So, you know, it's a plethora of things that people can enjoy themselves with. You know, most of what we do here is we invite full teams to come in and play. So, again, I encourage anyone who's interested to give us a call at 630-PLAY-BALL or to go on our web and take a look at BullsSoxAcademy.com.
Time for a short break here on Chicago Bulls Live. When we come back, Chuck Swirsky sits down with Bulls general manager Gar Forman. Stay with us on WLS AM 890.
To make your drive home a little easier, Steve Dahl is here. 2 till 6 every weekday afternoon on WLS AM 890. Now back to Chicago Bulls Live.
And welcome back, everyone, to Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890, our weekly program inside the world of Chicago Bulls basketball and the NBA. I'm Steve Cashel. During the Bulls' current road trip, Chuck Swirsky had a chance to sit down with Bulls general manager Gar Forman.
Gar, number one, let's kind of look back at some of the acquisitions you made. I want to talk about Robin Lopez for a moment. I mean, he's everything that you had hoped he'd be, but then some. And I want to ask you about when you went out and reached out to say, I want him in a Bulls uniform.
Well, I think our thinking was, first of all, he's our kind of guy. I mean, he's got terrific makeup and character. He plays with great effort. You know, he's a guy we followed now for several years. He's just very, very solid. And the other thing that was attractive to us is that he's under contract long term, you know, on what is, we feel is a reasonable deal. So, you know, we knew we were going into a summer of transition. We knew we were going to shake the roster up and make some changes. And we just thought that he was a real fit, both short term and long term, in getting a 28-year-old starting center that could kind of fit us.
Yeah. What does he give you on a daily basis?
Well, I mean, obviously he's got great size, and he's defensively, you know, he's good around the rim. He can score. He's got some offensive game at the post. But just a presence, just a big man who's a presence. He's been healthy throughout his career, knock on wood. And, again, a guy I think just fits us. He fits us on and off the floor in a lot of ways.
Okay, Jerron Grant came over also in the Knicks trade, played very well defensively, really both ends of the floor, played better with better players around him because he gave the ball up. But when you went to make this deal, what did you see in him?
Well, Jaron's a guy we liked in the draft and was high on our board a couple years ago when he came out of Notre Dame. So he's got positional size. He can make a play off the dribble. I think his shot is improving. And we thought he was a guy that, from a developmental standpoint, had a chance to really be a solid player for us. And I know he didn't get a lot of time early in the season, but we remained high on him. And again, you know, he's still young. He's only his second year in the league, but we think he'll continue to grow and get better.
Okay, Wade, we know what he's going to. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But when's the first time you sat down with him, Gar, and had a chance to really get to know him? What was your initial impression?
well, 2010 is the first time we sat down with him. But, I mean, obviously we knew that, that what a professional he is and the type of leadership that he brings. And we knew he'd bring a lot of intangibles to this team, along with that being able to still play at a high level. So, you know, and as we said, we were going to get younger, and we did. We've got 10 players on the roster with 3 years or less experience. You know, we thought bringing in a veteran presence like Dwayne would really impact this team both on and off the floor as far as leadership ability, and then also having another guy that can make plays with the ball, which we've seen. I think that is a fit with Jimmy, where you've got two guys that can go make a play off the dribble. So he's obviously been terrific for us, and we're just thrilled that he came to Chicago.
You know, Gar, I realize it's early, but you have to be impressed with his presence in the locker room, but also a seamless transition dealing with Butler and dealing with Rondo.
Well, we knew, you know, that he was going to bring those things, you know, to not only those guys, but to, like I said, to our young guys. And you know, the way he prepares, you know, the way he takes care of his body, the way he practices, the way he deals with teammates, all those things, you know, for a young team are so important. And like I said, it's difficult to do those things if you're in a role where you're not playing, but he could still play also. So really it's the best of both worlds, where we get a very good player that also brings a lot of those intangibles to our team.
Okay, Valentine, you make the decision to draft him, and I know he was hurt, obviously, in training camp, whatnot, in preseason ball, but now we're starting to see a little of him. He just celebrated a birthday a couple days ago. Give me an idea what you've seen out of Valentine.
Well, we, you know, when he was in our gym all summer and then during training camp, he was playing very, very well at a high level. He's such an instinctual player and can make plays off the dribble. He's a very good passer. He can make shots. He's got, you know, good positional size. So we think he's got a really bright future. You know, he was in the rotation that first preseason game and then hurt his ankle, and he ends up missing all the preseason, which really puts him behind. But his opportunity is going to come, and when it does, there's no question in our mind that he's going to be a very effective player for us, and another guy we think's got a really bright future.
All right, an intriguing player in the organization is Paul Zipser.
Mm-hmm. It is a guy, you know, and we were very high on him going into the draft, and we're very fortunate that he was still on the board when we were picking. Again, a guy with positional size. He's got some athleticism, some pop to him. He's a tough kid. He can make a shot. He can straight line drive it to the basket. We locked him up for 4 years. We think that much of him. And, you know, it's going to be tough probably for him to get an opportunity. I think he'll stay ready. And if the opportunity comes, I think he'll be ready. Maybe a guy we end up sending down to the D League, you know, throughout the year to get some minutes. But, again, looking towards the future, we think he's a guy that fits us and that's going to stick.
Gar, before I let you go, and you've been great with your time, and I'm so happy with how you put the piece together around it, because this is a good fit. The players love one another. There's a lot of bonding going on here. So I want to ask you about Butler. I mean, he's having a monster start. When you drafted him, realistically, were you saying to yourself, okay, you know, let's see what he can do, or did you expect this type a player here, we're looking at 5 years later, 6 years later?
Well, obviously we liked him, you know, but I don't think anybody projected that he would become the player that he's become. And really this year he's almost taken it to another level. And again, not only with what he's producing on the floor, but the way he's leading and leading by example, how he's practicing each and every day, how he interacts with his teammates. And it's really been fun to see his growth. He, you know, because of his work ethic, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, he gets better each and every year, and I still think there's room for growth, and we're seeing that this year. So it's kind of exciting, you know, watching him play and seeing how good he can really become. But up to this point, it seems to us he's taken it to a whole nother level.
Okay. Gar, you know what? You've been around the game a long time. Collegiately, you've been with the Bulls now close to a full two decades. Your job itself, I mean, it's challenging. You got cap. It changes every few years. Players come and go. Give me an idea what it's like to be Gar Forman as a general manager of an NBA team.
Well, first of all, I work for terrific ownership and, you know, great people that are in the Bulls organization. So it's fun,
including
to go to,
the broadcasters. Right?
Absolutely. And we're around each other so much, that's important. But to work for a first-class organization like this in a place like Chicago where the fans are so passionate, it's been an unbelievable ride and a great experience. And like we talked about this summer, we think, you know, we had to retool it. We had to begin to get younger. We retain all our assets. We're going to retain some flexibility from a cap standpoint. So we're excited of what we're starting to build now, and think our future is going to be very bright. But very rewarding working for and with the people that I do in the Bulls organization.
All right. Well, off to a great start, and then some. Gar, we thank you for your time.